And we're back with episode 5 of The Nevers. And boy, was that an incredibly shocking episode. And we have a very special interview that I personally have been waiting for a while. We have Amy Manson with us today. Let's get started. Back to another episode of The Touch Base, HBO's official podcast for The Nevers. We are so excited to dive into this week's episode. We absolutely have a lot to discuss, especially with today's guest, Amy Manson, who plays Malady. I'm your host, Jessica Basami.
And I'm Barbara Dunkelman.
And today we are joined again by the wonderful Hannah McCarthy to talk about episode 5,
Hannah.
Hanged. Hello.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. That title is already terrifying. There's so many things to talk about. I can't wait.
We're so happy you're back.
Oh my gosh, so much has happened since the last time I'm here. And this is just this episode.
You were on episode, what was the last episode? You were three?
Three. I was on episode 3. And we're on episode 5. And I feel like a lifetime has transpired since I was here.
I feel like we could have fit like 2 seasons worth of content in the last 2 episodes that we've seen.
I know. It's incredible. We have so much to talk about.
I'm ready to get into, you know, what everyone keeps mentioning, the Galanthi. What is
yes.
that?
So, yeah, that was so interesting because we kind of ended the last episode with this big reveal coming from the translation of the song. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of questions coming from that, like, who sent this message? What, mm-hmm. like, who do we need to find? Because they know they need mm-hmm. to get to the center of the city. Mm-hmm. And so we know that Amalia is kind of the core of all those answers. And I feel like...
And did she almost say that in episode 2?
Right, because she says this about Mary Brighton with, you know, saying she's the voice of the gull, and she kind of cuts herself off. And so we've had this like seed planted a while ago, mm-hmm. and now it's kind of this, we can kind of assume Amalia started to tell people, she's starting to give information in little bits,
and there's a part of me that thinks, like, does Malady even know? Because, you know, she always talks about the angels and
the
all
angels,
of that, and
yeah.
are the Galanthi angels or aliens or
Is it that glowing orb down yeah. underground? Like, is it a person? There's so many mm-hmm. ways that this could yeah. go, which, again, mm-hmm. is something I love about the show so much. Is
I know. And it feels like we kind of, as an audience, are right along with everyone in the orphanage, where we've kind of been given this information at a very high level. And much like them, we're like, okay, don't know what this is, but we've got to do something about it. And we trust Amalia. And as much
she
as
knows
we can.
Information that we don't.
She knows information we don't.
And she keeps teasing us through every episode, even in this episode again. You
yeah.
know, I'm like, girl, you gotta tell me sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
I need to know.
It's a lot to take in. And so it is interesting to see these characters kind of using this word we've only briefly had the slightest mm-hmm. mention of. Mm-hmm. And it clearly carries a lot of weight. And we're, mm-hmm. I think, working towards finding out what that is and what is beneath the city, what that orb is, what's going on with it.
Because we have that whole scene with Lavinia yeah. and the doctor. Mm-hmm. It was just so creepy. Mm-hmm. And also, I found it very fascinating that she was experiencing some headache and some
pain
some
behind
eye pain.
The eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if the light, does the light do anything to you when you're not wearing the, yeah.
A glowing weird alien mm-hmm. orb is going to do that to you.
Yeah. mm-hmm. It's also fascinating to see her kind of resolve shaken, because we've seen her mm-hmm. as such a very, you know, stalwart in her beliefs and what she thinks needs to happen, and for her to say, you know, kill it, I want it out of here, and for him to kind of be able to manipulate her, he really seems like this master manipulator, and seeing her be shaken in that way was really, really interesting. And also, I mean, we could just barrel, I'm like, her talking to Augie, there's just so much.
Yeah, which makes me, you know, where do you guys stand with her now? I know that, you know, in past episodes, there's, you know, I know that Kayla was like, I think that she's in on this, I don't trust her. Mm. This episode, I think, kind of changed a couple of things for me. I don't know about you guys.
I think, like everyone in the show, she's a nuanced character with probably conflicting wants and needs of her own. Like, we know
yep.
she has what she thinks is the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. But even now, you know, I feel like she's doing what she thinks is best. Mm-hmm. But as time goes on, she she's starting to question that, because the more she sees of this, I think she also realizes maybe I'm in over my head. Maybe I've taken on something that I don't fully understand. And it's a power that I shouldn't be messing with. And I think it's interesting to see that process happening just from us seeing her react to all these things as this fissure is happening that they're seeing happen, and Haig kind of talking to her and trying to manipulate her. She's a smart woman. She is. I'm sure understands she's being manipulated, but also I think knows like she can't handle this alone. And so there's this sense of dependence too that I feel like we see with her.
I also wonder if she ever were to find out that Augie was touched, if her whole demeanor would change, or if her whole strategy would change, and if she would just be like, I need to not be involved in this, or what she would try to do. So I'm wondering if that'll ever happen.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the nooses at the orphanage? Like, that was
did not like
zero terrifying,
frightening. Just who, why? It just the yeah.
Too My much. Question is, how did they get that many up there without making a noise until the very end?
I know.
When Penance and Amalia come out and they're like, oh my God, how did.
Well, because obviously, and I know we're going to talk about it later, like, obviously that is just a threat based on what's going on with Malady, with her, you know, public, you know, execution looming. And it's very
implying that all the touched are going to get hanged. Yeah,
and it being about the touched. I know that there's a whole conversation with Lord Masson, you know, and it really is about the fact that Malady is touched, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that
and it's back to the same thing that was discussed with Mary of it being a statement, you know, it's and that's the same thing that these nooses being left at the orphanage is someone is making a statement about, you know, their place in society and that they are very much a target. They have a target on their back.
They don't think that they should be here.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just really freaking scary. I can't imagine it just. Yeah.
Which, you know, brings us to Malady is sentenced to death, and the reaction seems split amongst all the characters, which I think is such a I love the way that the show portrays this situation, because it is very human to have such mixed reactions about Malady. And I think they did a really good job of portraying that, and especially, you know, between Amalia and Penance and both of their reasonings, which I understand.
I'll be honest, I did not expect Penance to want to save her. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I know Penance is very sweet and very pure of heart, and, you know, it's clear that she doesn't want to wish ill will on anybody, but I also didn't expect her to be the one to stand up and be like, no, we need to save her.
Yeah. I think it just kind of like, maybe I don't know if this occurred to her in this episode or she's felt like this the entire time, but you know, Malady is also touched, and I think it's that thing of like, we're all in this together, we're all touched, and although Malady is very troubled, she's also she's a human that is touched, and that that they're all in this together, and that they need to support each other. Yeah, human. You know, she's human.
We can assume
they're touched, you know, and that they're just all in this together, and that they need to support each other, regardless of the fact that Malady is very troubled.
And I think also for her, it's probably Penance, you know, talks about. I think she's seen enough violence and loss of life with Mary, and I think this is. Even though Penance has very clearly seen some scraps and some brawls working with Amalia, we know that they've seen their share of fights and things. I think Mary's death, it has this reverberation and echo across the characters. And we see that it's influenced Penance in a very real way here, where she's like, I can't watch that happen again. I can't see someone, especially someone who's touched, die to be an example, to be used as, you know, fodder for someone's opinions about who we are and what we, you know, as touched, as people with turns, deserve.
You know, obviously we see them come together back at the orphanage after everything went down, but we can't not talk about what went down.
Yes!
At the hanging, which is one of the craziest moments, I think, so far of the season.
That whole sequence, everything, I was like, everything is happening at once. Everything is, what is, like, just tracking the action in that scene, tracking the fallout of everything. And so, like, let's talk about it. So
my jaw was dropped the entire time. I was just like,
I don't know how we're gonna even like carpet.
There's so much in like such a short space of time that happens. And so you know, basically, yeah, we know this is everything is coming to this pinnacle of tension and the different opposing sides and beliefs about the Touched and Malady and what she's done. And so she's up there about to be hanged, and the Colonel's showing up with his little machinations, and Penance and her crew showing up, and they're trying to get ready to save her. And as soon as their
and
plan
Hugh
goes
there,
into
for
Hugo's
some
there, being Hugo, being his charming little tricksy self. And so as soon as their plan jumps into action, you know, we see Sue and Penance and Nimble Jack.
There's a moment where we think, okay, we think that they're going to save Malady. Yeah. They're distracting everybody. They're taking care of all the stuff. And then Malady essentially hangs herself. She kicks the person. She flips a switch. The door opens and she hangs herself.
Completely disregards seeing that people are trying to come and save her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
just a no thank you. I have a plan. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Was that shocking for you guys?
Yes.
What was that for you? Yeah.
I gasped audibly. But
that also was a moment where I thought, something is off here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand why she would do that. I don't know what's going on. And then there was that kind of eerie silence for a second before we figured out what was actually happening. And I think, who was it that kind of figured out, like, oh, they wanted to make this a public thing?
Frank is the one who notices Malady's plan and says, oh my God, she's going to kill us. And Penance, it has the vision of the electricity and is able to say, this is where it's going to come from. I have to stop it. So the two of them kind of see this happening simultaneously. But she gets electrocuted, burned, trying to help. Mm-hmm. And for naught, because we see this plan that we kind of clocked as soon as we saw Malady hang herself. This is not normal. Something's happening. And sure enough, there was a plan. She had a plan, and everybody's getting electrocuted, mass
chaos.
People are
dying, people are getting trampled,
It's basically exactly what, you know, they've been saying that she is this agent of chaos, but it's so interesting to see how she operates through this very, this is something we haven't really seen from Malady before, and I think this ties into the greater reveal that we can talk about. That she's been looked at as this character who's kind of like a wild dog, right? She's she's just doing anything she wants. She's very erratic and unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And this, the end of this episode is basically both, it kind of subverts that. It's basically this, she had a plan the whole time. And so can we talk
find
about
from later, we find out from episode one, potentially, this plan. So
Well, it all gets kind of figured out in a way where we see flashbacks of moments from previous episodes where, you know, Malady was in Frank's office and she jumps out and runs away and all this stuff happens.
Yep.
And I guess the moment we understand that this is a different person who was hanged, which is like the big drop, is when her shoe falls off and Frank notices that she's missing toes.
Yes.
And then goes back to figure out that that was one of Malady's crew members,
associates,
a friend.
We kind of have seen that this is something that the groundwork has been laid from episode one, basically. We have this reveal that Malady is not the person who has been hanged. She has orchestrated this plan to create this opportunity to punish the people who would see her hanged.
Yeah.
And it is this person, you said, Barb. It's revealed when we see the shoe fall off and there's these missing toes. And we remember the scene with, I think her name was Clara, the woman who worked for Malady, who desperately wanted to, you know, she kind of believed in this promise, this ethos that Malady has been talking about of there's some greater being that they're trying to reach, the angels. And Clara
kind of
like,
blindly followed.
Yeah.
Malady.
She's like, I cut off my toes in sacrifice and
believed
in
anything
she
said. Yep.
I don't know who you are. You are very intense. Like, we see Mary being like, I'm not interested in whatever you're talking about.
But we saw Malady being so smart
so
and clever.
Smart.
She's like,
and we saw
I
that in episode two. And we find out also, because there's a character we haven't talked about who's part of this big reveal, Effie. We've just been introduced to this character of Effie in, I think, the previous episode. And this is, I really...
In a very small way. Yes. Very just kind of subtle
she's
way.
She's a reporter.
You're just like, oh, she's the reporter.
And yeah. It's so
didn't
funny
think twice about
in,
it.
In this episode with Effie, every time she was on screen, I was thinking, she looks weird. There's like, it almost seems like she's wearing like a weird wig, or she has like, it's like stuffing in her chest to make her...
She's got a real prominent bosom.
Different.
Yes.
And I was like, this
and
just looks strange.
The voice.
But I didn't really think too much of it.
The voice was very interesting as
and
well.
I think we see that Effie is this very, she's there for a reason. We know that this character has been introduced for a reason, and it's not just to be a reporter. And the big reveal is as Effie is leaving the scene of this chaotic riot, people running away after, you know, people have died. She sure enough reveals, to your point, Barb, she is wearing a wig. She's wearing a fake nose. She's got fake teeth. She pulls out her bosom stuff.
Yep.
And it's Malady.
Malady.
Yeah. She's been Effie. And what I love about this, I love that for this to be Malady, I love this so much because she has assumed the role of a reporter, of someone whose primary objective is relaying the truth to the public, to the masses.
Right.
That is, she is focused on justice in her reporting. Mm-hmm. And what we talk about, giving a voice to the voiceless, to Malady, giving her her final, you know, her final interview before the hanging, which obviously is just her giving her own thoughts.
Yeah.
But this is so wonderful to me. It's so powerful because Malady is a character who has been trying to tell people the truth.
And is
the entire time.
Somewhat driving the narrative of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is,
she has said from the beginning, I saw this and no one will listen to her. No one will believe
her. So I'm going to make myself heard. And this is how I'm going to do it.
And she does it in this masterful way.
Yes.
So she gets to be the person who's like, you have to listen to me because I am a reporter.
I think I'm going to have to go back and watch every episode after this one, just because of all of those little Easter eggs that were planted throughout.
Yeah. There's so much there, and it just her being this character who is very much exposing the realities of the world that they're in, who hasn't been listened to, is someone who has been very, you know, pushed aside, and is someone who has been thought to be very unpredictable, has no real plan. She's just an agent of chaos. And for this reveal to be, oh, quite the opposite. She has been orchestrating this really complex plan from the beginning. I'm not trying to, it doesn't excuse that she's a murderer, but it's impressive.
All right. Well, this whole scene with the hanging is so intense. And in case you're interested in learning more about this Malady reveal, there's actually a behind the scenes video on HBO Max. And we actually have a clip that we're going to throw to right now.
Before the whole Malady reveal is when you first see, she starts to feel empathy. That is a beautiful moment for the audience. Deep down, she does have a conscience, you know? She's a person, she's not invincible.
Even the villains in our show have so much heart.
The Effie reveal was great fun. That was the hardest bit, trying to hide Malady's wig under another wig. Amy just did such a brilliant job. Teeth out, threw them on the floor. Wig off through it, and she's back to Malady.
All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed that clip. You could check out the rest on HBO Max. Speaking of Malady, let's really dive into this character because obviously this is, I think, one of her biggest, best episodes of the season so far.
100%.
So we really saw a different side of her this episode, and it's very much confirmed that she's a lot more smart and in control than we previously thought.
Love it. The likable villain just coming in clutch right now.
Yeah.
And in, you know, I know that we touched on that a little bit, but just like adding to the more complexity, to the more complex side of her is that, you know, she's saved Harriet from getting trampled, you know? I mean, I know that she was Effie in that moment, but she saved her. Why do you guys think that is? I have some thoughts. I want to hear yours.
Part of me feels like she would have done it regardless, but I think the fact that those women came to save her and she saw that happening probably really struck a nerve with her in a good way where she felt like, oh, they're here to save me. Like, why would they save me? So I should return the favor or really realize that we should all look out for each other in a sense.
Yeah. And we've never seen Malady. We've really seen her wanting to punish the bad people, you know. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you think her definition of bad is right, I don't think she's really been like, I just want to go kill all the touched people, mm-hmm, right, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think for her, she recognizes that they are the people who are being, you know, targeted and maligned, and she is very, very geared towards her own belief in justice and what is what is right. And I think she's not going to just let Harriet get trampled. And I also think it's just more of a reaction, which I think tells you a lot about her as a character, that she just kind of instinctively helps her.
Well, we all clearly love Malady, and this character is just shining so bright these days. And lucky for us, we actually get to talk with Amy Manson, who plays Malady, in this interview coming up right now. All right, everyone. We are joined by the amazing Amy Manson today, who plays Malady. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
First question that I would love to know is, Malady is such an interesting and complex character. How did you prepare for the role, and how did you get into the mindset when you're about to perform?
She's a rebel with a cause. You know, I think she's made out to be this mad woman, but I think her methods are madness, and her need to destroy and wreak havoc on the world is caused by the pain inflicted on her. So that's where I kind of begun. I needed to make sure that I rooted her, you know, that she didn't become one-dimensional and it was just an abused woman that was out on a mission, that it had to be rooted in utter truth and sincerity in a way, because the Malady is like the mask of all the pain. That's her armor of what's going on below. So the way I kind of prepared for her was understanding the root of Sarah, which is obviously all within her. So understanding who Malady was pre-asylum, and understanding her kind of her hopes, dreams, you know, ambitions as a Victorian woman, and understanding why her husband chose to put her into the asylum. At the time, a lot of women were poisoned with mercury. So I kind of came up with that backstory, by their husbands, almost to kind of like make way for a younger model for a period of time.
Oh, my gosh.
I never heard of it before. My gosh.
I know.
So we see Malady's machinations come to fruition in the most shocking way with the hanging. She had Clara replace her. And so I'm curious what that meant to Malady and how it felt to have this complex plan happen in the background for a moment and letting the audience think that Malady had actually been killed.
Malady's clever. Malady's a step ahead. At the beginning of episode one, obviously, she's taken over. She knows that she's going to kill Effie Boyle in order to become this reporter, in order to be able to, you know, put out these articles to encourage London society to descend on the town square in order for them to be electrocuted and for her to do a mass, you know, to have a mass killing.
Well, kind of speaking of Malady being one step ahead or having this kind of knowledge over everybody, from episode one, it's very clear that Malady is the only character who remembers that ship that caused everyone to turn. So I'm curious for you how it was like playing a character who knew something that nobody else in the show remembered.
That's a great question. I had to think of it being a struggle for her as a woman entering an insane asylum and trying to vocalize the fact that she thinks that she's been chosen by God, that she actually saw God. And of course, everybody just thinks she's insane and doesn't listen to her. And that's the delicate kind of beauty of Sarah, you know, at the time. And that would obviously, that's a frustration and the rage that would be building deep within her, I think, manifested in myself too. You know, just try, a woman without a voice, you know, a woman that's from, you know, down and out of, well, she's not, Sarah's not. I think she would probably be from the upper classes. Whereas Malady turns out to be this, you know, goes underground just to kind of make sure that she's on this vengeance path.
Well, we saw at the end of this episode that Malady is, you know, obviously far more clever and in control. orchestrating this massive fake out. How did you feel when you read the script and learned what she did?
Every time there's a script came in, we'd all, because we've got a WhatsApp group chat. So we'd all be on the group chat going, oh my God, did you hear this? And what about this? And
I love
oh, what's
it.
Going next? And it just gets more profound and obscene, and but it's all tied into something. And as a unit in a cast, we still don't know what or why these women have been chosen.
I think it was Anne and maybe Tom. Also, you're like the third person that has mentioned this WhatsApp chat. I love it, and I'm jealous of it.
Yeah. I know, it sounds like so much great. Fun. Such a fun group to be around and just to talk about. I'm sure your experiences together must be so enjoyable and fun. And I'm sure you guys miss each other a lot too, which pandemic makes it a little difficult, of course. But I'm glad you guys are staying in touch. That's really nice.
I know. It's just knowing what we've all gone through. And I think with the pandemic, it's been stop start, you know, but I think we were gifted, you know, and there's gratitude that has to go out for HBO and the way they looked after us, because we couldn't have done it without, you know, without the recurring tests, without us all being so close as well, you know, bolstering and galvanizing one another and knowing we had HBO as a safety net, you know, that was just helping us and guiding us from the get-go.
100%.
Well, before we get too far away from the episode and the big reveal of everything that happened right at the end, we saw that you got to play a different version of Malady, kind of, in a much more subdued version of Effie, the reporter. How was that like, kind of playing a very distinct, different character from what you typically play in the show?
Such a joy. It was so great. It was really great. And I think, you know, through all the prep that I did, all three are always inhabited within Effie. Well, you've got Effie and then Malady and Sarah. They're always there bubbling around. And there was moments I tried to play with that you would see Malady's eye glare. She wanted to come out at a moment, you know, and reveal herself. But Malady's so in control and a step ahead that I think Sarah would love to be Effie. You know, Sarah would love to be this working woman of the time and confident, competent, in control, you know, have people under her thumb. And I think I just tried to make sure that the three were always juggling within Effie at any given moment. But personally playing Effie, it was great because the accent's different, the look's different, the suit that I had to put on for her, you know, I just felt like a woman rather than a caged animal who'd been dragged through a bush backwards, basically.
Yeah, I had no idea that was even you in there. Like, it was such a good job with the costuming and makeup to make it seem like a different person that I was shocked when the reveal happened and we saw that it was Malady as Effie. It was just an incredible reveal.
It was great. We actually filmed that first out of the whole hanging sequence.
Okay.
So filmed that, and actually before the pandemic hit. So that was great to get that out of the bag and understand, oh, that's the journey that she's going on.
Nice.
But because we played a lot with eye color because I wear different contacts. The wig was always going to be blonde, and there was these epic teeth, which I loved. It was a slight buck tooth.
Yeah, it's almost goes into that theatrical kind of element we talked about with Malady, of how like she's almost playing a character, and with Effie she gets to kind of live out this, as you said, like this fantasy of being a working woman and living this character's life, which I think ties in so well.
Yeah, because she's a shapeshifter, because I thought, you know, is Malady, I mean I went through everything, it's personality disorders. I think I eventually kind of stuck on she's in a state of hypermania a lot of the time, you know, and probably an insomniac and doesn't stop, and just that belief that she's been chosen, you know, that she's almost Christ-like because she's going through, she's having all this pain inflicted on her, that there must be a reason. She is, in fact, the chosen one. So that's residing through, that's the undercurrent through Effie also.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, Malady talks about angels and darkness a lot too. So that makes sense. And when you said that moment where you thought in episode 5 where Sarah came through, is that just because we were speculating, is that the moment where you save Harriet in that moment during the stampede?
Actually, then there's a few moments the moment I thought was actually when Effie's entering Frank's office and Frank turns quickly and there's almost like a reaction of like, oh God, don't hit me, as though that might have gone on in Sarah's life by her husband, possibly, or within the asylum, at least.
I know that we saw it in the episode with Amalia and Penance, you know, recruiting their own teams, you know, to help them with their goals at the very end. If you could pick two characters to join your team, who would they be and why?
Definitely Desiree.
Yes.
I love Desiree. Oh, such an amazing character.
100%.
Yeah, I would love to know people's thoughts. People's subtext or inner monologues, because what people often say is not actually what they're thinking, right? And then possibly Beggar King, I would think, just because of the power and control. And we still, I mean, as a cast, as a consensus, we still don't know, none of us know, you know, like who he truly is and what the, you know, his ploy is within the whole, you know, there's so many unanswered questions, which is the beauty of this show. It's just the show just keeps giving. Isn't it? You think you're in one genre and then all of a sudden you're elsewhere and you're like, wait, why did that happen?
Keeps you on your toes, which is nice. Yeah. And something I love what you said too, Amy, is about like the Beggar King and like not actually knowing where he lies or like what his backstory is or what his motives are. And I love the idea of Malady having the Beggar King and Desiree on her team. And just like that would be unstoppable power.
Exactly. Well, maybe they could get married.
Hey,
marry any of them, but Beggar King and Malady.
There you go.
Power couple.
What a pair.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for joining us today. We love talking to you. We love Malady, and we're so excited to see what comes next with Malady. And thank you so much for being here and chatting with us today.
Thank you. That was great. That was fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Amy Manson for talking with us. We had so much fun learning about more of Malady, and we can't wait to see what's to come with her in the future. Speaking of episode 6, let's talk about it. It's called True. What could that mean?
Oh yes. I just fist pumped into the air because I'm hoping that all the questions, all the teases that Amalia is giving us about why she's here, what her mission is, where is she from? Is that her real face? Maybe all of these questions will finally be answered, as her last name is True, so I assume that's what it is. Oh God, I hope so.
I agree. I think it's like hopefully all about Amalia and the truth. Like we get the truth.
Yes.
True. We get to hear
the double meaning there.
Yes. We get to hear everything we've been wanting to hear about who she is, like you said, and
what her mission is. Everything.
What do we find out also? What was that thing in the sky? I want to know that as well.
I sure hope so. I think so. I think we're going to learn, you know, I think we've really been given a lot of groundwork for the Galanthi. Like we've heard this word, this name talked about so much in this episode. And it's in this kind of high level of, we know there's this entity or person or being called the Galanthi, but who are they? What are they? What do they want? I think hopefully we'll get that in this next episode.
And I want to hold Laura Donnelly to her word in episode 1's interview with her. She did say that it was a very satisfying episode 6 and that a lot of the questions that we have were going to be answered. So if she lied to me, I will find her.
Do you think she's telling the truth?
I know. I'm gonna hold her to it.
I think so. I think it's going to be what I do know without having seen it is it's going to be a wild ride, because every episode has been a
every
wild
time
ride. So I can only imagine what this episode is going to be like. It's going to be great.
I mean, there's some lingering questions, I think, even just from episode 5 that we have going into episode 6.
Yeah.
Like, what did Malady whisper to Hugo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Effie?
What does he know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or was she just flirting with him? Who knows?
Yeah, it could be either. No, it could have been, knowing Hugo, she was just like, let me interview, you know, someone. And he was like, okay. But it could be something way more cool and sinister.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see Amalia already at the orphanage when Penance returns at the end of this episode, you know, but we actually didn't see what happened on their mission. We saw that, you know, they were kind of knocked up. Augie was really bloody.
I know.
I want to know what happened.
Augie.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be like a flashback to what happened in their whole encounter and that whole situation.
Yeah. If Augie fights, I will lose my mind.
If anybody touches our boy.
He clearly has to be protected at all costs.
He's bloody. Someone clearly throws hands at him, and I'm not excited. I'm scared.
Maybe he just tripped and, scratched his belt.
That's an Augie thing for sure.
Such an Augie thing. Because, this is such a minor thing, but, the scene, we didn't talk about it because it's really minor, but the scene where Penance is, getting dressed after bathing, and she thinks the crow is Augie spying on her, and he's, so flustered. That's my sweet boy, and I hope nothing happens to him.
Anytime the Penance and Augie are having a scene together, I just am smiling through it. I just smile when I see them on screen.
I do want to see what happens with that group, with what they do, because they have such a different... They had such a different goal and plan. And we wanted, did they drill into the center of the city? Did they find?
What happened?
Well, they said they were successful, so...
Methinks.
True. Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah. We'll have to see.
Thank you for watching The Touch Base, HBO's official podcast for The Nevers. Make sure you tune in at our regular time next week. Subscribe to HBO's YouTube channel. Follow The Nevers on Instagram and Facebook. Please comment with your favorite moments from episode 5. We love to read them. And of course, stream The Nevers and The Touch Base on HBO Max. We'll see you next time.
Bye.